non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go in the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will
nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. Psalm 102, 15, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Everybody, welcome globally all around the world listening on them internets. My name is Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja. You can get more at ApologiaStudios.com. That's ApologiaStudios.com. That's Luke the Bear right there.
What up?
And when you guys go to ApologiaStudios.com, you guys can get all kinds of really cool stuff. You get all the past radio shows, the podcasts. You get the television shows at the All Access. You get the Apologia Academy. We've got some great stuff there at the Academy right now. Go check it out. Sign up for All Access. When you guys sign up for All Access, you make everything that we do possible. So thank you guys to all of our ministry partners that make everything possible. Whether you guys have seen debate videos, on the street evangelism, anything you've seen, that was made possible because someone just like yourself, a brother and sister in the Lord, is partnering with us in this ministry, making all that possible. So all the Latter-day Saints that have seen the content and then turned to Christ, to the true Christ, and come to Him to know Him, that was made possible because we're in partnership together, guys, in this ministry. The atheists, I saw a great message the other day of atheists who saw a debate that we did and turned to Christ, and that's amazing. End Abortion Now content we put up Apologia Studios. Some of that is funded through Apologia Studios as well. So praise God for all of you guys who are partnering with us. Thank you so much for watching the show today. Make sure you guys share this across your social media. Let everybody know what's going on right here at Apologia Studios. Very excited about today's show because we're doing some fun stuff today. We're going to talk about cultural insanity. We are going to talk a bit about President Trump at, not China, but Mount Rushmore. Pretty good speech, actually.
China.
Pretty good speech. We're going to go through a few. China. We're going to do a couple minutes to go through some of his speech, talk about important things related to that. And we're going to talk about some of the cultural insanity going on as well. We hope to give you guys a good time today, help you guys laugh. And we hope you guys learn some stuff. And we just have a good time together. So, you know, one of the things we used to do early on in Apologia radio history.
Prank calls?
We did prank calls. Some of you guys remember that. That was fun. Yeah. I need to start doing that again. Prank calls.
I don't think any of those stores are open anymore.
I know. Seriously. We called Christian bookstores and we would ask for ridiculous books and Christian items. Mm. And the goal was to not laugh.
Yeah. Or get hung up on.
Yeah. Don't get hung up on and don't laugh. So basically we would write 10 items you had to ask the Christian bookstore for. And we should play through some of those. Those are a lot of fun. And
those were fun.
The goal was.
Joy always smoked us.
Yeah. She always beat us. She could do it without laughing. Did we ever win against her? I don't think we did. Uh-uh. So we'd write down like 10 items you got to ask, but none of us saw the items we had to ask for until the person was on the phone and flipped the page over, and then we had to ask for the most ridiculous, ridiculous items. And people would go look for them, like Joel Osteen hair cream kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. One of the things that's reminiscent of the old Apologia Radio is this right here, and I just felt like playing it. I thought Mount Rushmore, You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I'm connecting the dots now. I didn't know
it
why
it felt
you
right.
Were.
Mount Rushmore, the rugged wilderness, and you know, it just feels right to me. So it was I don't know if you guys ever seen this, but is the guy in the buffalo.
Oh. One day the guy on the buffalo was cruising around through the plain, seen a bear, and he thought to himself,
oh no, I'm gonna get away from the bear.
Hope he don't chase, oh no, he's gonna chase me. Oh no, I better just turn around and chase him back. Cause guess what?
So that was a guy in a buffalo. That's Luke. That's when men were men.
Yeah.
When they rode buffaloes.
Exactly.
Where are
I'd
the men
like
who are riding buffaloes?
They don't exist.
They don't exist. I'm going to start riding a buffalo into work.
Yeah.
I'm going to come into the studio riding a buffalo.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Not right now, though.
No, not
they're not air conditioned.
Not in this climate, no. I heard actually this week we're going to have Death Valley temperatures.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I sent that to our other elder. Pastor Zach is on his mandatory sabbatical right now, and we sent it to our other elder.
Yeah, I didn't like it
by the name of Pastor James White, and it was like, "Hey, Death Valley temperatures." And you and I were like, "Wow, right? That's terrible."
I have a wedding this weekend, so I was like, "I'm gonna die."
And he was like, "He was like, well, it looks like somebody just moved to the valley or something like that."
Something
just
arrogant.
Totally dissing, totally throwing down our feelings and our emotions. About how hot it is here, but he just dismissive, like, well, whatever. Yeah. You know, the other day I heard that he went, to get his, to get fixed up by Nicoletta. We have the world's best chiropractor at Apologia. She actually fixed my leg yesterday. She ripped it back out of its socket and, like, flew across the room as she did it. Didn't apologize at all and said that she wasn't sorry for it. Did you know that James did this? He went to go get his adjustment, and then after his adjustment, he was going to go ride the bike for 5 hours. Did you know that?
It sounds about right.
5 hours. How does a human being just make a decision on like, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna ride for five hours today?
I don't know.
Is he getting ready for a competition?
No.
Like
he can't. There are no competitions.
Is he gonna ride around the world on his bike? Is he gonna do like a cross country thing?
Virtually. Remember, he's always like, I rode this mountain today.
Has he? I think he did. He say he's actually like. Mileage-wise, gone around the planet?
Probably.
Like 16 times or something like that? I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. I'll tell you what. Dr. White's going to outlive all of us. He is incredible.
Not if he keeps eating Taco Time.
Incredible shape. Yeah, Taco Time will take him down.
Yeah.
That's for dang sure. That is his kryptonite. Taco Time. Taco Time. Yep.
White and delightsome Mexican food.
Dr. White loves his Taco Time. If we go to Salt Lake City... We have to all eat a Taco Time.
He was mad that we didn't
last
time.
He's very much about tradition. Do you notice that?
Oh,
which is kind of a cool thing.
Especially since he's so much against traditions.
Yeah, against unbiblical traditions. But he's got some traditions of his own. See, that's why he's so keenly aware of the fact that all of us have traditions. Because
that's
he
true.
Knows that he has traditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not that they're unbiblical. There's nothing wrong with Taco Time. But he's very much like, this is what we do. This is where we go. This is what I buy. That's how we do it.
If it was up to him, he'd still stay in like the same like budget in Salt Lake City.
Because
of tradition.
Well, that's the thing is like there was
even though it's in the ghetto.
Well, there was a situation in the past where like Sean McCraney, that apostate guy, he was like sort of challenging, and then James was like, well, we'll send Jeff up there to do a debate with you. And he was like, I know exactly where to go. I know where to send him. And I think he was even suggesting, like, put me up in, like, the old hotel. Like, it's, like, from the 50s or something. It's, like, like hole in a wall. Like, it's only $5 a night kind of thing. It's,
But it's next to the Taco Time.
It is probably next to the Taco Time. Yeah. He would do that, too. You guys realize that. The James is that way. If it was up to him, he probably would. Like, if you could have, like, a Marriott that's decently priced and, like, it's a nicer place. Maybe it's $100 a night. But if he grew up going to the the beat-up little motel down there that still has a sign that says air conditioning and color TV, he's like, oh, it's $5. I'll stay there. Never mind the fact that it's infested with roaches and that's where they film Psycho. It doesn't matter.
Like, prostitutes and drug deals.
He would just be like, that's where I've always gone, and that's where I'm going to die. That's how I'm going to do it. And that's what James does. So now you guys know a little more information about Pastor James and how he does
things. Already received multiple complaints because we're on the same time as the dividing line. Sorry, it happens.
It's just the way the schedule works, guys. We're not trying to compete with our other fellow elder. It's just how it works in terms of our schedule and our stuff. It says crisp meat burritos, Dr. White kryptonite. That is true. That is very, very true. All right, so let's get into today. I wanted to show everybody some stuff and talk about current event stuff. Did you guys know that there is a trend right now of people, it's like a cancel culture trend. Cancel culture is very popular right now. Everyone knows about that. Cancel culture trends regarding even actors and actresses who can't play roles. They can't play roles of somebody that they're not in real life. So we're going to talk and play a little bit of this situation with Halle Berry. Halle Berry apparently was going to play this transgender character, and then she came out and she apologized and essentially said, like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't have a right. I don't have a right to step into that skin. oh, you mean acting? Oh, you're talking about acting. Oh, like you're not going to act anymore. So like basically everybody who plays a role has to be that person in real life. Mm-hmm. How does one get into that mindset that like I can't act and play the part. I have to be that person. It's such insanity.
Yeah.
It's madness. And it's embarrassing to a culture to get into that kind of mindset where you have to actually be the person that you're pretending to be. So I don't know.
She got a lot of money to be pretend to be a cat.
That's right,
Batman.
That's
so, like,
yeah, Catwoman. That's right. She was Catwoman.
She didn't apologize for that.
She did not.
She should have too.
Yes,
because it was terrible.
That was a terrible movie. That's for dang sure. Absolutely, I would not recommend this time spent in that. Well, let's go this direction. Let's talk about the way things were and talk about where they're at now. I was born in 1978, and so 42 years old. I got 3 grandkids. I got 5 children, and so I've been around for a little bit. I'm a little older than Luke. And
a little bit.
He likes to point that out. So is my wife. You're the oldest of us. Sure. You're gonna die first. I'm like, well, I'm gonna meet Jesus first. So. before you, my only comeback is, well, I'll see the Lord of Glory before you do. So. But James will definitely be there first. No, he won't. No, not with his riding his bike. So I've been around for a while, and one of the things I can remember from my childhood, and some of you guys probably remember this as well, is that we recognize that racism with tribalism, biblically speaking, tribalism, saying like your color is what makes you better, or looking down on a color or culture, pride. It's disgusting. Racism belongs in the pit of hell, and people will go to hell for their hatred of another person because of the color of their skin. So we're all there now, right? Racism is evil. It's awful. Civil War had a lot of consequence in the United States of America. If you didn't know this, every country that Christianity came to, every country the gospel came to, ultimately in history, that country was freed from its slavery and its commitment to slavery. So it's literally history of the church. You go watch it. Everywhere the gospel went, when the gospel transformed that culture, even down to if they were practicing the slave trade or had a historic practice of the slave trade, Christianity destroys that. It abolishes it. It ends it everywhere. And guess what? What's amazing is the Christian church was able to do that in 2,000 years of church history without shedding blood, exactly. Without a war. But in the United States of America, we had a war, and over 600,000 people died as a result of the Civil War. We're not going to get into all the complications of that issue right now. Man-stealing and kidnapping and enslaving is worthy of the death penalty in God's law. Christianity gives you a basis to despise slavery like that, and so we have a basis for it. But when we look back at our history, we say, yeah, the Civil War created a lot of consequences for our nation, and like we're still feeling the consequences from how that war was fought. And then the sorts of things that came afterwards, like the Jim Crow laws, disgusting, disgraceful, despicable things in our country. But praise God, we got to the point where we started realizing what people started fighting for. This stuff is unjust, it's unrighteous, it's unchristian, it's hateful. It's disgusting. Get rid of these laws, systemic laws, laws and ordinances, local ordinances, regard to like this is a white fountain and that's a colored fountain. How disgusting is that? Thank God that stuff is gone and right. We despise it and we heap scorn upon it, all that. But what's amazing is like the civil rights movement, you're thinking like around like the peak of the 50s and into the 60s and all that stuff goes on there. Now, of course, there's still ripple effects from all that stuff. You know, it doesn't just end and everyone goes, okay, ollie, oxen free. Like we're good and that's behind us now. Of course, there's still ripple effects. Here's my point. 78 is when I was born. I remember 80s child, my childhood raised, coming up. I remember watching shows, comedy shows, where people were ribbing each other and joking with each other and having fun with each other's culture. Like you could tease each other in a respectful, funny, loving way, joke about it, right? Tease, because you don't mean any harm with each other. You're teasing with each other. You'd even joke about yourself. For example, let me put it this way. When I see a person of another color than me, a different count of melanin than me, asking questions and joking about white culture, I laugh about it. Yeah. Like, I laugh about it. Like, I saw one comedian, he was joking. He was like, well, you know, this culture over here, they have this kind of food and this kind of practice and culture, and it's funny, and we have this. And they were like, but what do white people have? Like, what do you guys have? Like, macaroni and cheese? Like, what's your cultural staple food? Like, what is it, Matt? And I thought about it. I was like, I don't know. Is it pot pie? I don't know. Like, what is it? What do white people have? I don't know. But I'm like,
Hunger Man.
I'm like totally laughing about it. Like, I'm like, that is funny. Like, what is it? Like Salisbury steak TV dinners? I don't know. What is it? Gross. So like, I'm teasing. Like when you tease, because you don't mean it. Like, if you see somebody as equal and you love one another, you can laugh about silly things about your culture and not take it seriously.
Right.
But what's with this offended, ridiculously heightened offense culture and cancel culture where you can't even tease somebody anymore? Like, for example, and this, I'm gonna play it so you guys get a flavor of what I'm talking about and how we are living in insane times. This is from late 70s, I believe late 70s, maybe 80, 81. I think it's like 78, maybe. This is Eddie Murphy. And he was, it's a famous skit. It's called White Like Me. It's from SNL. And I want to just say this, honestly, this cracks me up. Like, it's Eddie Murphy pretending to be white for a day. He's doing white face. Okay. And I don't have a problem with that.
No, it's fine.
At all. I have no problem. I think this is one of the funniest bits SNL ever did. It's one of their classics. He pretends to be white for a day. And he steps into like the white culture, and he discovers all this secret world underneath the white culture. It is hilarious, and I'm not offended by it. Mm. Like, the stuff that he's talking about is obviously not true. Like, when they're joking, and you're going to see in a second when he's joking about it, it's obviously totally a joke and not true. And I'm white. He's black. I think he's hilarious here. But we lose the ability to do all this with this ridiculous, broken reasoning that we've fallen into when we talk about cancel culture, and you've allowed the neo-Marxists to come in with this class conflict between whites mm-hmm. and blacks that disrupts us. And the amazing thing is, and this is the sad thing, and then I'll play the video, is this nonsense comes into the Christian church, and it begins to divide white brothers right. from black brothers. That's disgraceful. I love my black family in Christ. I love them. I love black culture. And these neo-Marxists are coming in, and they're destroying our ability to see each other as image of God, because the first thing they want us to highlight is color and oppression, right. and you're automatically this because the color you have. And like, that's in the church now. And so we've lost the ability to joke with each other. We've lost the ability to not take ourselves very seriously. We've lost the ability to think clearly, and we've just succumbed to this class conflict propaganda from the neo-Marxists. We can't even laugh about things like this that are actually really, really funny.
A lot of people talk about racial prejudice, and some people have gone so far as to say that there are actually two Americas, one black and one white. But talk is cheap, so I decided to look into the problem myself firsthand, to go underground and actually experience America as a white man. I hired the best makeup people in the business. If I was gonna pass as a white man, everything had to be perfect.
I think that's a little light.
Okay, let's try this.
This, I look kind of Harry Reams-ish.
I like it.
I study for my role very carefully. I watch lots of Dynasty.
See
how they walk? Their butts are real tight when they walk. They gotta keep their butts tight. I gotta remember to keep my butt real tight when I walk.
And I read a whole bunch of Hallmark cards.
My lovely wife. You always mean lots more to me than you could ever guess, for you have done so much to fill my life with happiness.
Finally, I was ready.
What are you doing?
I'm buying this newspaper.
That's all right. There's nobody around. Go ahead, take it. Take it. Go ahead, take it. Yeah, take it. Take it.
Slowly I began to realize that when white people are alone, they give things to each other for free.
There was only one other black man on the bus. He got off on 45th Street.
The problem was much more serious than I'd ever imagined.
Now, let me get this straight, Mr. White. You'd like to borrow $50,000 from my bank, but you have no collateral, you have no credit, you don't even have any ID. Is that correct?
That's right.
Mr. White, I'm sorry. This is not a charity. This is a business.
Harry, why don't you take your break now? I'll take care of Mr. White.
Well, okay. Thanks, Bob.
That was a close one.
It certainly was.
We don't have to bother with these formalities, do we, Mr. White, huh?
What a silly Negro.
Just take what you want, Mr. White. Pay us back any time, or don't. We don't care.
So there you go. There's a good example. Like, that's, you know, not very long ago in our history where people could joke.
Yeah.
Like that. He could step into the white culture, tell jokes. You know, he could tell a story without everybody losing their minds. Mm-hmm. And I see something like this. I'm white, and I'm not offended by it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's obviously really a comedian funny. Telling a joke, and but he's, even in this case, not only is he ribbing on white culture, and he's obviously joking about it. None of this stuff happens.
Right.
But the point is he's also playing a character that he's not in real life, and that's just not allowed now.
No.
When Halle Berry apologizes because she says, well, I don't want to see a movie that she's talking about anyways. It didn't even sound remotely interesting to me. But when she talks about playing a transgender person, a woman that transitions to become a man, then she apologizes later because she's not from that community. It's like, so there's no actors and actresses anymore? You can't play roles anymore? You have to actually be that person? Mm. How's that work? Like, how's that work? What movies would you have? I mean, so if you're going to do a movie about the history of Scotland, you can't have like Braveheart. You can't have like American actors with maybe not great Scottish accents, but doing the movie like in Scotland. Like, you have to only hire Scottish people. Like, do they have to be descendants of the people who are part of those battles? I mean, like, where do you want to end this insanity? Do you have something to say?
I was just going to say it's funny because, you know, so is she only allowed to play a role that is a black woman? And my first question and second question is, who are you to say that she's a woman?
Exactly.
So it's just a like a whole basket of contradictions.
Yeah, proper pronouns here. Yeah. So I'll play just a little bit of this. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but this is her interview talking about when she was wanting to play this role.
I'm thinking of a character where the woman is a trans character. So there is going to have to be. She's a woman that transitioned into a man.
Wow.
You really should. A character in a project. Love, and I might be doing.
By the way, everyone, real fast, the sketchiness of the audio there is not on our end. It's not our internet or yours. It's the interview she did.
Terrible.
Just so everyone understands, don't think everything's messed up right now. It's just how it sounds. So here we go.
It's to me, and I thought after I do the movie, that's the character I'm going to play. I want to experience that world. I want to understand that world. I want to understand that character. I want to, you know, deep dive in that, like I did Bruise. That was so
funny. All right, so that was her explanation, and I'll get to her apology here. There's a long little interview section there, but here is her official apology. I'll play this.
Apologized on Twitter, saying, "As a cisgender woman, I now understand that I should not have considered this role, and that the transgender community should undeniably have the opportunity to tell their own stories. I am grateful for the audience and critical conversation over the past few days, and I will continue to listen, educate, and learn from this mistake. I vow to be an ally in using my voice to promote better representation on screen, both in front of and behind the camera."
You know what that is? That's her saying, "I will submit."
Yep, exactly.
I will submit. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. That's what this cancel culture and the alphabet people and everybody who's engaging in the neo-Marxist sort of like playbook and all that's been going on underneath this. That's what they want. They want your full submission. They want blood. And so this is somebody who, as an actress, was like, "Well, I want to play this role and understand this world." And then all of a sudden, she gets attacked from the people that just cannot think critically and who can only see color, who can only see gender, and hate the world that God made. And that's how they live their lives. That's how they live in this world. She gets attacked by them, and she realizes, "I could lose everything. I could lose everything because they'll cancel me. They'll have people that they're vicious. It's a vicious world to live in." And so what does she do? It's full submission. They should tell their own stories. "I'm grateful for the audience and the critical conversation over the past few days, and I will continue to listen and educate and learn from this mistake. I vow to be an ally." So this is her like just saying, please forgive me. I'll be your ally.
Yeah, they're the moral authority now.
Exactly. That's very good. They are the moral authority now. And how dare you as an actress act?
And she was trying to celebrate them, which they shouldn't be celebrated, but she was trying to be supportive and celebrate them.
Yeah, she was on their side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she was their ally, but she was an actress.
Yeah.
And she's not allowed to act because they apparently want no more actors in the world. No more playing roles. No more pretending. So I imagine if you're going to have a story of like a person who's handicapped, you have to find a person who's truly handicapped. Yeah. Which was, I think, a comedian did a funny thing on this recently, and they were like, basically, like, what would they be getting a reward for being them? Like, like Oscars are like, "You did the greatest job playing you in this thing." Like, how does that happen? Like, why? What's special about finding a person who only is that thing?
Right.
It's not special, and nobody's mesmerized by an actor or actress that is that in real life.
Right.
As a matter of fact, what you talk about people who like, well, that's how that person is in real life. Like, it's a, you know what I'm saying? There's actors who are even famous people, and they're just like in the same, the cast is the same thing and everything, and that's how they are in real life, sort of a thing. There's not much of a divide between who they are in real life and who they are on the screen, and everyone just understands, like, we just enjoy watching them, but that's really kind of how they are in real life. There's lots of actors like that, but none of that's impressive. Who's impressive? What's impressive when Christian Bale loses, like, all of his weight down to his bones and plays in The Machinist. Did you see that?
I saw a picture.
I haven't seen the movie. I'm not recommending the movie. I'm just saying, like, in terms of like how people were like, oh my goodness. I think he said he ate an apple a day. They were like, how'd you lose that much weight? He's like, I went to the doctor and said, how do I survive and lose weight? Like, look like I'm dying. And he's like, well, you just need some vitamins and minerals to eat an apple a day. And he said, well, it was easy. I ate an apple a day. It's
like, that's like, not easy.
That's why it's so impressive, because he's not that person in real life. Yeah. And he lost all that weight to get into that mind of the character and play the character. I mean, it's just, that's what's impressive to people is when like, oh my goodness, that guy's nothing like that in real life. And then look at him over there, or look at her. Okay, what's the movie? I haven't seen the movie. But it's based on the true story, and it's with Charlize Theron. It's Monster.
Oh, and I haven't seen that either, but I know what you want.
I followed that whole story when it happened in the past. That woman who was killing all those men, she was like a serial killer prostitute. And so when they picked her for that role, and she was playing, I was like, how's she gonna play that role? That woman is, you know, she's not a looker. Can we say that and be loving? You know, I love her for Jesus' sake, but let's just be honest, she's not a looker. That's all there is to. If you've seen the interviews, you know, she wasn't a looker. Well, so you pick Charlize Theron, and you're like, okay, how's that gonna work? And then they came out, and you're like, whoa, like she is phenomenal. Like how she got into the character, she beefed herself up, like she messed up her mug, and was like, yeah, all right, yeah, she did a great job, and that's what's impressive, because she's not that person in real life. And that's why everyone, like, you know, lauds them with so much like a reward and awards. It's like, wow, what a fantastic skill. But we're not allowed to do that anymore because cancel culture. And now you just have to be the person you are in real life. Another example. Now watch, this is funny. This is actually amusing to me. Just to show you in terms of time, this was dropped, at least on their YouTube channel. Key and Peele, super talented guys. I mean, in acting and their skill in writing. I'm not recommending all their stuff. They've just done some cultural commentary stuff that's actually really, really good. These guys are very, very talented. They're actually some of the most brilliant, probably talented writers of our day. And they're hilarious at times. Again, not recommending all their content. I'm recommending some. You can't deny their talent. But this was in 2014. Key and Peele do this skit, and it's about local gangsters. And I just want to point some stuff out to you real fast. We won't play the whole thing, just a piece.
Eduardo, man, you are so loco, man.
Wow.
We need a crazy vato like you in our gang. So with this bandana, I welcome you to the game.
Yo, hold up.
Okay.
What's going on?
Hey, Carlito. I was just welcoming Eduardo into the game.
Why? Who he? What he did?
He's crazy, man. We were thinking that the game needs a crazy guy.
Yeah, man, this guy is loco. Show him, Eduardo.
Loco!
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 Huh? No, I'm the loco one in this game.
What? Okay.
Check this out.
Quack, 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 quack.
I'm a duck.
No.
I'm a crazy duck.
No, Carlito, quack, Carlito, quack. It's not that kind of loco, so, okay? That's more like, you know, zany.
I can't play the whole thing here. But here's something dropped in December 4th, 2014, like I said, according to their channel. That's not very long ago, and that's not allowed anymore. Here you have guys, Key and Peele. Actually, they're mixed, but like all of us are. We're all a bunch of mutts. Can we just acknowledge that we're all a bunch of mutts? But they're not that culture,
right?
And then they do a bit where they're joking about a culture, they're teasing, but they're not those people. Now, I gotta say this. When I watched that, it never crossed my mind seeing something like that. Oh, these guys are racists.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
They're just comedians. They're writing. They're telling jokes. But in order to tell the joke, they have to step into that culture and that world, and they're poking fun at themselves. They here's the thing about Key and Peele. Key and Peele can tell jokes about black culture.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell jokes about white culture. They can tell jokes about Hispanic culture and Asian culture. They can do that, and you're not supposed to be offended by it because they're getting everybody, and they're just stop taking everything so seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? If you can think rationally and you have a stable and balanced mind, you don't have to take everything with offense and take everything so seriously. Again, when I see somebody of a different culture making fun of white culture in a way that's just poking fun and teasing, and they're making fun of themselves, I'm not offended in the slightest. I'll probably laugh harder than anybody
right.
if they tell a good joke about white
right.
culture.
Right.
Everybody has this heightened sort of radar for racism right now, only because you've been worked on. You've been worked on for a long time. Now, if you heard what I said at the beginning of the episode, you know that I said that racism, tribalism is an evil, wicked sin that belongs
Absolutely.
In hell. If you hate somebody for color of their skin or their culture, all that stuff, you'll go to hell for it. Okay, if you don't have Jesus, that's one of the things you're going to spend eternity in hell for. So all that needs to be said. But when it comes to the hypersensitivity here, people have been worked on. You've been worked on to see things only on the basis of color, to always be offended. Now it's just cancel them. Do you know people have tried that to us too before? It was a couple of years ago. Somebody didn't like us, and so they were like doing this campaign on like Twitter. Hey, everyone, cancel yeah. Apologia. Cancel
yeah,
Apologia.
Yeah, the YouTube police got us, by the way.
Did they?
Yeah.
Is it we're back on?
Everybody's saying that we got shut down. So.
Are we back?
Oh, it's back.
We're back on. Okay. Yeah. When the thing goes up, we'll dispute it with YouTube, and we'll let them know that we're doing commentary. It's fair use commentary. So we'll. Sorry about that, everybody. It'll later. It'll all be intact. Next thing I wanted to play this as well, and it'll probably get hooked again. But I'll just I'm gonna do it anyways. Just to show you this, which I thought was actually good commentary. One of the things happening today related to cancel culture and to the constant conflict over the color of the skin and the attempt to create so much racial division and animosity, which is in the playbook, create class conflict.
Yep.
That's how you create upheaval to turn the civilization over and then ultimately move your way into communism. That's how it goes. You can read their works. You can read their literature. That is the game plan. It's gay versus straights, whites versus blacks, the rich versus the poor, conflict, class conflict, warfare, and then destroy the nation, and then communism. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Well, what's interesting is now you have this. I could play video after video. I imagine some of you guys, and you've probably seen this already, where now you have, James has said it a lot, this culture, this cancel culture, this conflict, this racial conflict culture, there is no atonement in this whole ideology. It's you're right. guilty, you will forever be guilty, nothing is enough, there's no atonement.
It's just forever judgment.
It's forever yeah. conflict, it's forever judgment. You are what you are, you will always be this, yeah. and you just need to live a life groveling, mm-hmm. at the feet of the person you've offended, whether right. that's the alphabet people, whether it's people who are of a different color, whatever the case may be.
Mm.
And so when we talk about where we're at now, no atonement. And so you see white people literally groveling at the feet of someone who has black skin, begging for forgiveness and yeah. confessing their guilt for what? For being white.
Exactly.
And this is a sad state of affairs because there is no atonement, but only in Christ. There is atonement in Jesus. He's taken away all of our sins. Everybody, white and black and whatever color, yellow, whatever color you are, you're all guilty. We're all guilty before a holy God. And the only atonement that takes away guilt and shame and sin and condemnation is Jesus, only through faith in him. This new brand of condemnation and shame that comes in over color of skin, there is no atonement. There is no end game for mm-hmm. them. And they admit that. Like, it's perpetual condemnation and shame. Why? Because of the color of your skin. It's because of the color of your skin. That's racism.
Straight up.
Straight up racism. If it was flipped the other direction, let's say it was an Asian person talking that way about a black person, we'd all call it out as racism. If it was a white person talking about a black person or an Asian person or a Native American, we'd call it out as racism. What, they're guilty forever because of the color of their skin? We'd say that's disgraceful, despicable a racism we should all despise and heap scorn upon. But it's accepted now where, no, like, you're perpetually guilty because of the color of your skin. You're part of this class of humanity, and so you're guilty because of the color of your skin. And there is no atonement in their theology and in their worldview. But I thought this was funny. It's Key and Peele, and they're actually, in this bit here, they're making, the name of the bit is Awkward Apologies from White People. So I'll just try to play as much as I can get away with before YouTube will pause this. But again, later on, this will all be up. I'll do the dispute and we'll tell them it's fair use commentary. But here we go.
So the Lannisters are the blonde people. And the female Lannister is married to Robert of Baratheon, who is the king.
Is it Baratheon or Baratheon?
Right. Whatever.
And then the other blonde girl is the...
Can I get you something?
Oh, I don't know. Three kamikaze shots, whatever. God, I can't believe he just did that.
What's that?
Served me before you guys. I'm really against that. I'm so sorry.
Nah, it's okay. We've got beers.
No, I mean, I'm sorry about everything.
Well, that's fine.
No, it's been 100 years of not fine. I mean, 20 years ago, you guys wouldn't have even been allowed in here.
20 years, that would be 1992.
You're both really beautiful.
Oh, and she's done.
That just happened, didn't it? Yeah.
So they're totally poking fun at this awkward... this awkward white apology, and making fun of how ridiculous it sounded to them. And this wasn't very long ago either, but I think this is a brilliant piece of comedy and cultural commentary. They're making fun of people who pander to them, and it's silly to them. So here's another one. I love this one, and I remember them because I grew up in the 90s.
Amazing.
So, okay, wait, the Lannisters.
Okay.
She's the queen.
Jamie Lannister is the other one.
Jamie and...
Yo, what up, man? Hey, give me another lager. You know what I mean? Duh. Spilled my last one on my tribe shirt. You believe that? But whatevs. Got this thing in 93. Midnight Marauders tour. Check that out. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Hey, who's your favorite member of tribe?
They got us again.
Smokey. Know what I mean? Yeah. Love him, dude. He's more behind the scenes, but yeah, he was like... All right, good. See you guys around, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay.
One more.
Come on, son.
Boom. All right, late.
Oh, he spun.
Wow. He spun. So, there you go. Yeah, I'm sure the stream's going to come up here in a second. Sorry, everybody. One of the things that's become so ridiculous about YouTube is the restrictions they have on... if you have Christian content, you are in danger on YouTube of being suppressed. Of being shadow banned or being completely shut down. I mean, completely shut down. And someone needs to start a solid platform for videos like YouTube, because their policies are just getting so insanely. Now, I want to say this. They have a right. It's their private property. Mm-hmm. They have a right to do whatever they want.
Right.
I want them to have that right. I want to have that right. Private property means private property. If it's my business, it's my business. But we also have the right as a community to say, we don't like your ideas and your practices, so we're going elsewhere.
Exactly.
So people have a right. So someone please create a streaming service and video service that's better. But even in their restrictions now, like, they're so tight now, like, you can't even do cultural commentary anymore. So it used to be fair use. You could talk through, like, news clips. You could, you know, talk through film things, and you could play through. And they might strike it afterwards and say, hey, can you answer for this? Now they're just like, you'd be midstream going through a cultural commentary thing, and they just shut you right down.
Yeah.
Like that. Are we back?
I don't know.
Let's hope we are. Well, let's see. Is it running right there? Where am I at here? Okay, I've lost all that. Okay, so let's just get into the Trump one, and let's see if we can get through that without being shut down.
Oh goodness!
I mean,
we're playing Trump, so that's an automatic shutdown.
Yeah, I know we're playing Trump. Well, I shouldn't have done this. I named Trump in the video thing here as a description. That probably automatically gets a shadow banned. All right, so Pastor Luke wanted to talk a bit about the Trump Mount Rushmore speech, and I hope we're back on. Again, this will be on at least later, so let's go ahead and get into this now. This is the speech that created all the controversy. fairly recently. It's about a week old. And President Trump went to Mount Rushmore to speak in front of Rushmore. A very symbolic thing in terms of current cultural circumstances and conversation. We've got statues being destroyed and taken down. You've got history being destroyed and taken down. Now, I just want to suggest something. This is just the cherry on top. What I mean by that is this whole idea of erasing history, of redefining things, erasing it, getting it out of people's minds. It didn't start with the George Floyd riots.
No.
It didn't start there. You know when it started? It started when public education became a thing. Did you know that public education was fought against by the Christian church violently? Now, when I say violently, I mean in a Christian way. There were no riots and there were no there was no looting. But what there was a violent intellectual opposition to public school education. It does become, I know that it comes as a shock to Christians today. It was a shock to me, to us, that public education wasn't always a thing. And that public education was fought against by the Christian church because there were ministers, there were Christians that said, if we do this, if you give the government, if you give the state control of education, they didn't have it before. It was all private and it was excellent. Did you know that? We were one of the most highly literate and educated countries in the world, like in world history. And that was all private education. Education was controlled by private institutions, homeschooling, private education. It was done in churches, all that stuff. And it was like through the roof, amazing. We developed some pretty amazing people in this world through private education.
Yeah.
It wasn't government controlled. And they said, you do this, you give the education system over to the government, to the state, and that means the end of Christian influence, and it means the end of Western civilization. That's what they argued. They argued that. And then what happened? We lost, and public education became a thing. And then, look, it didn't take, what, a generation and a half before you start saying, well, we're not really talking about, like, how we got here in terms of worldview and intellectual ideas, the influence of Christianity on all these areas of life. You start just getting little spots of history, no details, just like there's a guy named George Washington, you know, first president, even though he wasn't the first president. He's first president after a particular time, but there were also colonies before that that had their own governments and they were together in many ways. And there's a whole story behind that in terms of like where we were before even 1776 and then ultimately George Washington. But you just learn spots in history. Like, you know, there was a thing called slavery. And Abraham Lincoln was totally opposed to slavery, and he, you know, he wanted to abolish it. It's like, well, you should listen to what he was saying before. It was politically expedient for him. And, you know, there's so much stuff you don't learn. There's so much stuff you don't learn, like in terms of like the people in the North and the South that were abolitionists that were trying to fight against slavery. You just don't learn this stuff. You don't learn like there were people in the South that despised slavery and were desperate to try to get rid of this institution that they had inherited and didn't want. But they were like, maybe we can do this over like 20 years and educate them and like get them like their own land and businesses and get them on their way and started. People in North and South were working on that, all that stuff. Like, you don't learn that. You just learn like North good, South bad, right?
Yep.
You learn general. He fought for the South. So bad. Take down his statue. It's like, did you even read what he said about slavery? Like, you know, to how he felt about it. And then even people in the North that are vilified. They're vilified when they shouldn't be vilified. Like, we're talking about a sinful, fallen world. And you want to erase all this history. You don't want to teach it to our kids. But the public education system was the start. What you see going on in the streets now, what we see going on in the streets, which leads to the Mount Rushmore speech, where they're taking down these statues and trying to erase history. Guys, it's the same playbook. It's the same playbook. You've seen it before. You look at the history of communist nations, Marxist influence. They turn to communism. What do you got? Well, let's burn some books. Let's destroy the history, right? Because there is no history. There's just the perpetual present. There's just what you're creating now. So them destroying the history, it's meaningless to them. They don't want to be reminded of any, in any way, of the Christian history or really any history at all, because Marxism doesn't have that perspective. It doesn't have the perspective that history matters like that. There's this perpetual present, right? And where we're at right now. So it's a destruction of the monuments, destruction of the history. This is much, even saying that's a problem, that I have a problem with the destruction of the monuments. is not, everyone should understand, it's not carte blanche, like, I agree with everything those guys believe.
Right.
I agree everything where they were. No, you have to, you know where you came from. You know what they believed. You don't want to repeat the errors of history either. So being reminded of history helps you not to repeat the errors of history.
Exactly.
And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. At any rate, when they come and destroy these monuments, you understand it's the cherry. They've already been revising history and destroying history. And so Trump, of course, holds to the, maybe it's not popular now, some places it's popular sentiment that we shouldn't really destroy these things. We should protect them. It's wrong to destroy private property, period. But he goes to Mount Rushmore. And here's what he said. Pastor Luke, you stop me whenever you want.
It was all made possible by the courage of 56 patriots who gathered in Philadelphia 244 years ago and signed the Declaration of Independence. They enshrined a divine truth that changed the world forever when they said, all men are created equal. These immortal words set in motion the unstoppable march of freedom. Our founders boldly declared that we are all endowed with the same divine rights given us by our Creator in heaven. And that which God has given us, we will allow no one ever to take away ever.
That's a good place.
Ever.
I love that part. But I meant to mention the first 5 minutes or so was kind of, I told Jeff, it was like a Nebuchadnezzar kind of like, look at this kingdom I have built.
Yeah.
But I appreciate he started here. And I mean, that's a great way to start off by, you know, whether or not he truly believes what he just said, you know, he's thanking our Creator, Almighty God, for what we have. And that's more than the man in the office before him did. So.
Well, yeah, and we should mention this. Okay, so a couple things just quickly here is that when you think about the Declaration of Independence, the context they were living in, slavery is a thing. It's a present reality. We believe that slavery was a wicked institution. God's law again says man-stealing and enslaving is worthy of the death penalty. So a lot of them had have inherited this sort of thing, didn't want it. It was definitely a thing people were doing, and they were wicked. I believe they should have been punished for it. So all that is there, right? But yeah. Like this is underneath like the background of like the war for independence and the Declaration of Independence, all that stuff. Like this stuff was going around in the culture around, and yes, they say like endowed with these inalienable rights, they're by their Creator, all of them are equal. Like you do have to say, hey guys, you thinking about what you're saying there? What about these guys? You've got people kidnapping and enslaving black people. Like, have you thought about that? And the answer is yes, they did think about it. They did have debates like that. And they were like, you know, can we abolish slavery immediately? And they're like, well, that might affect like how we were able to move forward as a nation immediately, because it can create internal strife between us at the moment. We need to be able to fight this war. So there were definitely conversations happening about this is wicked. Christians knew it was wicked.
Yeah.
But there were also people who are professing to be Christian, of course, that were like, no, this is a good institution to have. Oh, look, understanding all that's behind there, but listen, it says it. Creator, creation,
yep.
Equal under God. And of course, we all recognize, like, you had some work to do, guys. You definitely had some work to do to get there. But do we fail to acknowledge the goodness of that worldview? Creator, creation, image of God, all equal. You know what doesn't give you that? I'll tell you what doesn't give it to you. Marxism.
Yeah.
Marxism's dialectical materialism cannot give you equality like that. Mm. Now, I will say as a caveat, I think a dramatic failure in the Constitution, it is a dramatic, 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 serious failure. And it does answer a lot of our problems today. Is other Christian nations in history, when those nations were converted and you have Christians in government and everywhere else, they would acknowledge in their formal documents the triune God of the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
They would actually point to this God, Jesus.
Like Hawaii.
Jesus.
Yeah,
like,
God.
Exactly. The Hawaiian Constitution, after 20 years of missionary work, 1819, 1820 to 1840,
yeah.
All that missionary work, Hawaiian islands are almost completely converted. And they say in their formal constitution that no law of the Hawaiian kingdom shall be at variance with the laws of Jehovah God. That's a specific. Now, we're talking about Tetragrammaton. We're talking about, like, this is the name of God in the Christian scriptures kind of a thing. At least, of course, we understand where that comes from in terms of the English, how we do it in English. My point is this. Christian nations would actually name the triune God of Holy Scripture in their treaties with other nations. And let's just say there's a whole history behind this of people who were very upset during the time of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, when people were actually, like, not willing to actually, in these formal documents, name this God. The whole general idea of creator, yes, we know that the Christian worldview is in the atmosphere, and many of them are Christians. We understand that. And so what they were talking about was, like, the Christian God. But there were Christians then who were saying, hey, y'all are going to collapse. This ain't going to work. You can't generally name a deity. You have to talk about this God. And so, yes, it's true that there is a failure in the Constitution and our formal documents in that point where we have to name the Christian God. That would be a bigger help. But it's something we're stuck with it. Where are we? What are we going to do now? I just want to point out that the materialist worldview, the humanistic worldview, the atheist or secular worldview, all this neo-Marxism can't give you the goodness of what he just said.
Yeah.
Right? Now, yeah. I'm not wearing a red Trump hat right now. I'm talking about what the man's quoting from and what he's saying.
Yeah.
The worldview that is trying to overcome everything in this nation around us right now, it can't give you atonement. It can't give you a workable worldview. It can't build anything. And it can't give you equality. Like, when you talk about BLM, the formal organization BLM, the Marxist organization BLM, we're talking about people who call white people subhuman. Right? That's racism. That in itself is racism. It can't defeat racism and make equality. All it does is it says, no, we need this kind of racism to be upheld. That's all it does, because it's not Christian. Only the Christian God can give you peace, harmony, unity, beauty, truth, goodness, all of that. So all that on Trump's statement there, I think it's important, because what these people can't give you today is what he illustrated there, equality.
...1776 represented the culmination of thousands of years of Western civilization and the triumph of not only spirit, but of wisdom, philosophy, and reason. And yet...
And I want to just highlight, because it's important to do so, that if he's talking about thousands of years, if he means 2,000 years, he's right. And if he's talking about all of these blessings to humanity, what he's really talking about is the blessings of the gospel and the biblical worldview on world history and civilization. There just is no question that the modern rise in technology and science and medicine came from the Christian worldview. Some of the greatest scientists and philosophers and doctors over the last couple hundred years, they believed what they believed and did what they did because of a Christian worldview underneath them. They were educated in Christian institutions. They held to a Christian view of history and reality in many respects. And so you just can't get away from it. Science was given rise out of the Christian worldview and all the advances of modern medicine. And now we've poo-pooed it all. We say, no, God, we don't want your good worldview and your good gifts and your good gospel. Right. We don't want your son. And so we'll build our own civilization. Well, I think what would help is, number one, I want Trump to know Jesus. That would be amazing. And I think I've seen changes in him. I don't know the man personally, but I have seen some changes in terms of just like where he was to where he's at now. I hope the Christians around him are having a good influence on him. But I like to see him be more courageous and just explicitly say, all these things are from Jesus. All these things are from the Christian scriptures. Because that's the truth. That's really what he's aiming at. Like, when you talk about Western civilization and the blessings of Western civilization, what you really mean is Christianity that gave this to us. Mm. We should just say it, because that's really where it comes from. Just say it.
As we meet here tonight, there is a growing danger that threatens every blessing our ancestors fought so hard for, struggled, they bled to secure. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children.
Okay, so let's think about solutions. how do you stop the indoctrination of our children? Like, you want to talk about axe to the root sort of a thing?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You got, you
abolish government schools.
Yeah, you got problem weeds. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Do you want to go cut the tips off of them? Let's fix this up. Or do you, what? How do
what
you?
What are you, Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah, just like, what are you gonna do to it? Like, talk down to it or something? I don't know. Like, what do? You pull it from the root. If you're gonna take down a problem tree, you got to get to the root. Or it's coming back, right? Mm-hmm. So like Luke said, the answer to the indoctrination problem is the government schools. Abolish public, government-funded education. Do away with it. Brothers and sisters, if you have your children, we didn't used to be so bold about this.
No.
We didn't.
Not at all.
We didn't used to be so bold about it. And we still want to be gracious about it. But brothers and sisters, please hear me on this. If you have your children in public school education, they are being indoctrinated in an opposing worldview. And there's no way out of it. There's no way out of it. It's what is it? 7 hours a day of indoctrination, indoctrination, indoctrination. And all the arguments that we used to make, because I used to make them too. I was there. I want to send my kids into school to be missionaries. You know, I don't want to remove the Christian influence from the schools. It's like you expect your 8-year-old to be a missionary in the school. Really, you think that's how they're working? Bad company corrupts good morals. And if they're surrounded by bad company all day long with an opposing worldview, with authorities above them who have an opposing worldview, you think your 8-year-old is going to fare well there? No. They're being indoctrinated in an opposing worldview. And if you say, well, when I get them home, I'll disciple them. Let's be honest. Think about 2 weeks of classroom hours, okay? Let's say it's 7 hours a day or 6 hours a day at school. How many hours is it?
I think it's like 30 hours a week they get.
So say it's 30 hours a week. So say 60 hours a week. Be honest, dads. I had to be honest myself years ago. We had to be honest. 60 hours a week. 60 hours in 2 weeks' time. Question, how much time do you spend specifically discipling and indoctrinating and educating your child in the Christian worldview over 2 weeks? Be honest. Can you compete with 60 hours of class time in 2 weeks? Can you? Be honest. No, you can't. Can you compete with that if you homeschool your kids? You're dang right you can. Can you compete with that if your kids are in private Christian education, good private Christian education? You're dang right you can. Yes, you can. But you can't do it when you have years and years and years of indoctrination. It's weird. It's funny. You'll have solid Christian parents, people that are godly, godly, amazing, Jesus-loving believers. And all of a sudden, you see these kids that are raised in these homes with these godly parents under the word of God, with the word of God, right, going to church. And all of a sudden, you see 17 years old, 18 years old, yep, these kids do what? They're like, now they're like professing homosexuals. Right. They're going off into the world doing all kinds of crazy things. And they're like, what happened? How come you believe all these things? Oh, I wonder. I wonder why they believe all those things. Could it be that they were taught a view of origins throughout their whole education history that was antithetical to Christian origins? Could it be that they were taught a view of society and history that's antithetical to everything we believe as Christians? Could it be that they were taught an ethical system in school? I mean, think about it. You're like, an ethical system? What do you think sex education is in schools? You think they're talking about ethics there?
Right.
When your kids and my kids are in public schools learning sex education, do you think they're learning the Christian view of sex? No.
The answer is no.
When they're going in there, they're being told everything goes. Experiment. Figure it out. You know, if you don't think you're a boy, maybe you're not really a boy. Maybe you can live a different way. You can do you, baby. And they're being taught an ethical system. And then you have specific stuff going into the education system in terms of indoctrination that changes what history really was. Changes who these men and women really were, what they believed. Does not give you the full picture and understanding. It just gives you like brute fact. George Washington, first president, white guy, owned slaves. Like that's, right? It's brute facts, nothing, no context, no understanding, nothing at all. And so it's also an abysmal education. Can we just admit that too? It's abysmal. I'll say in the more modern vernacular, public government-funded education sucks. Okay, that's the modern vernacular. You want, like, what's the lowest you can go in terms of like describing how awful it is? It's not even any good. And people admit that in the public school education system. Do you know what you can do if your kids are homeschooled and Christian private education schooled? You can actually control the quality of their education.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, they're not doing well in this area. They need to do better. I need to find better curriculum and maybe better tutors in this area. And we need to work on this area. And you can control that. And you know what else you protect them from? All the lies, all the indoctrination. It's not to say that our kids are going to grow up perfect. They're not. They're not going to grow up perfect. They're going to be sanctified. If they know Jesus, they're going to be sanctified just like you. But in terms of our responsibility as parents, protect them from this garbage. So when President Trump is talking about the erasing of history and the indoctrinating children, brothers and sisters, there's a reason for it. And we can't just say, America, America, I'm going to love American values. You better have an answer. You got a problem with the indoctrination? You see all these young college-age kids acting a fool in the streets of America over the last couple of months? Listen, they've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
They didn't just become stupid.
Right.
They didn't just become foolish all of a sudden overnight. This is their worldview. This is what they were taught. This is the ethical system they believed. And when they had an opportunity to be unleashed, I'm not talking about the peaceful protesters. That's good and allowed. And everybody should have been speaking out against injustice of the police. I'm talking about the people that went and shot random people on the street or beat up random people of a different color or destroyed black businesses or burned buildings to the ground. These people were running amok because this is how they were raised.
Yeah.
They were indoctrinated. I bet you, watch. It's a good social experiment. If you took everybody that was rioting and looting over the last 2 months.
See if they were public school.
And ask them, could you all raise your hand? How many of you guys were homeschooled?
Yeah.
Like, how many hands do you think would go up?
Probably a 0%.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe one straggler here or there, yeah. Like, you know, some weird guy with, you know, skinny jeans on or something, and it's like, I hate my dad, like whatever. I don't know. Maybe he was playing too much TikTok.
Anyone that was,
I don't know.
Anyone that was homeschooled was probably because they had to be because they got kicked out of public school too many
times. Right, but ask the rioters and the looters, how many of you guys were public schooled? How many of you guys were private schooled? I think you would have a pretty solid answer. All right, so let's just go a little bit more here.
Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they are doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud. And they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
So I that resonates with me.
Yeah,
it does, because I do hope for the preservation of the Christian culture, right, and stuff that created all the goodness and blessing around us. So that resonates with me, and I really like this speech. I thought that President Trump actually, this was a good speech.
Yeah, it was. There's parts in it that I didn't agree with, but there's like this part which was amazing.
So. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's amazing you have to say that now.
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything he said. He's like, you like this speech, you agree. It's like, no.
Because I'm not a Trump apologist. We're gonna if he's wrong in something, we're going to say he's wrong. If he's right like this, we're going to say he's right. But if you have to tell people, like, I'm not saying everything he says is right.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I think it's important for us to point out, do we have an appointment by the way, right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Sorry. We have an appointment. We're pastors. We have to go do some counseling right now. Maybe we'll pick up on this later, but I just want to say final thoughts on this particular thing. I think it's important for us, and this is sort of maybe the summary of what I wanted to aim at, what I think we wanted to aim at in talking about this, is when President Trump says some really powerful words there about preservation of culture and all the blessings that we have around us. I think it's important for us to recognize most of us probably don't know, like, what exactly are those things?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if we haven't really thought as Americans, we haven't really thought about, well, what exactly is good about the worldview that created this? What is that worldview? what are the blessings that we should preserve and why should we preserve them? The question I think that we have to ask to be effective in the culture around us is this question, and we say it all the time here. It applies in so many ways, whether it's the area of apologetics or justice or whatever. It's this question, by what standard? By what standard? Like, by what standard should I operate? Should I think, I want to preserve this value in America? Okay, the question is why? On a whim? Like, you like that? Because the opposition has their own likes and dislikes, their own tastes, right? And you can't have this, you cannot have this simply be one person's tastes versus another person's tastes. Mm. And that's what you get when you abandon God and your constitution and you have sort of like anything goes, right? Like, my God's just as valuable as your God. No, there's only one God. Jesus is the king. He's ruler over all. He has all authority. Like, hey, I want to just say a heads up to all the secularists and humanists and everything else. I want you to know where the world is going. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go disciple the nations, teach them to obey me. All of history is going under the authority of Jesus Christ. It is true. It is true. At Apologia Church, we're trying to convert the world.
That's right. Amen.
It is true that we're trying to bring the nation that we're currently in and our state under the blessings and authority of Jesus Christ. There's no question about that. I have no embarrassment about that. But one of the things we need to recognize is that as Christians in this nation, that resonates with us, the values of our past, the blessings in our country. We want to preserve them. No one can take them from us. We have to actually be bold enough to say, because why? Well, it's because this value should exist because Jesus says. And this justice should be in place because God says. Like, we can't just have a taste test and sort of like, it's my taste versus your taste, because you get the chaos all around you. You have to have an ultimate. Mm-hmm. Now, the Marxists, they have their ultimate. The atheists have their ultimate themselves and whatever the current society is saying. But Christians are supposed to have a different ultimate. It's Jesus. When we say this is true, it's because he says.
Right, exactly.
So my encouragement is this. When we are fighting this cultural battle, let's do it with the gospel first and foremost. Let's call people to the lordship of Jesus Christ and to his authority and to his salvation. And when we fight these battles, let's do it explicitly as Christians.
Amen.
Example, ending example. When we're fighting against the issue of abortion in our country, it shouldn't just be in a general sort of pro-life, ishy-squishy sort of like way, like, you know, love, abortion kills love. No, abortion is murder, because God defines it as that. Abortion is murder. We should criminalize and abolish it, not regulate it like the pro-life industry is trying to do. Mm. We should fight this explicitly as Christians. We should say, well, because God calls it murder, that's the image of God. And of course, yes, I have science showing you exactly what's in there. It's human from conception. But I'm telling you, yes, you have to stop this because it's murder. It's the image of God, and you cannot take the life of a human being in an unjustified manner with malice aforethought. That's murder. Why are we trying to end abortion in this way? Because we follow Jesus.
Amen.
Like, be explicit. Remember this, the unbelievers, the skeptics, the secularists, the Marxists, all those guys, they have their commitments and they're no holds barred, right? No compromise. They have their commitments and they're like, this is who I am and this is what we're going to make America. It's time for Christians to start acting like Jesus has all authority.
That's right.
And start speaking to them in like manner. Right. So we will catch you guys next week right here on Apologia Radio. Get more at apologiastudios.com, everybody. APologiastudios.com. I'm Jeff the Common Ninja. That's Pastor Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
We'll catch you next week.